It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida Podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
What's new? Well, Winter Olympics started last week.
Did it really?
It really did.
I had no idea.
The 8th.
I do know they're in Pyeongchang, which is not P.F. Chang's.
No, that's not the
same. Those are different things.
No, but I'm a big Winter Olympics guy. I really like the Winter Olympics.
Figure skating?
I'm not a figure skating guy, but like skiing and snowboarding and
curling?
Like, curling's so much fun to watch. If you really sit down and watch it and try to understand it, it's actually really fun. People think it's like really boring, but it's...
Is it true that Team Russia isn't Team Russia because Russia's banned, but their athletes could still come? They're just athletes from Russia, not the Russian delegation.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about the politics of it this year, but
yeah,
I'm excited about seeing some snow sports.
I'm out on the Winter Olympics.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm out. Except for I like the ski jumps. Those are pretty cool.
Oh, like the long jump?
Yeah, when they come down.
Where they're flying through the air?
Yes, yeah. Which in my few times of snow skiing, that's exactly what I've tried to emulate. and then, given my physique,
yeah,
that's a good move.
Yeah.
Gravity helps a lot.
Gravity is your friend.
Wow. I think it's funny, like you can tell that Travis obviously did not watch the Super Bowl because it seemed like every other commercial was the Winter Olympics, which was shocking to me for Super Bowl commercials.
Well, it's on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl was, mm-hmm, and the Olympics are on NBC as well.
I know, but think about how...
If it had been on Fox, they wouldn't have been any commercials.
I know, but...
Maybe one, but not...
I saw a calculation that the Super Bowl was... Super Bowl ads were costing $1 million a minute.
Yeah,
so
but if you're,
five
but if you're the network...
For 30 seconds is what they cost.
If you're the network, then it basically doesn't cost you anything to put a...
Can I say something?
No, you can't. Let me finish my thought. It costs you the loss of giving someone else that airtime.
That's true.
So really, it was like the same exact cost, and I was just shocked.
Maybe the Olympics paid for those ads.
But also, the commercials for the Super Bowl weren't that great either.
Yeah,
so maybe
they weren't
they
the
just
greatest.
Were like,
the Tide ones were pretty funny.
Yeah,
I like the Tide ones.
Tide won the night.
I like the Pringles one, too. That one was pretty funny.
You liked the Pringles one?
I did. I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh. As someone that did not watch the Super Bowl, I did YouTube the highlights, and I YouTube some of the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I YouTube JT's halftime performance. And can I just... I'm bringing it full circle right here with the show. How was he not wearing a pair of Sitka waders
when he came out there to do that? Like, he was like full decked out. He was ready to hit the woods, man.
Like, I feel like Sitka missed an opportunity there.
A lot of hunting companies missed an opportunity right there.
Yeah. First Light or Sitka or QU or one of them should have been in on it.
Yeah.
Mossy Oak.
I just saw like 30 minutes ago on Instagram that he has some kind of partnership with Levi's, and they're releasing a piece of clothing that relates to each song on his new album. So I think he's fine.
What?
I don't think he needs a Sitka sponsorship.
How do you match clothing with songs?
Dude, I would rather have a Sitka sponsorship than a Levi's
sponsorship.
Absolutely. I know this is going to anger at least one of our listeners, but JT's gone off the rails. Like, I don't know what he's doing with his life.
I think he was having some technical difficulties Sunday night.
Yeah, agreed.
No, I think JT's fine.
No, I think
he's doing the
be
best
fine.
He can do. You know?
You were just singing his praises a couple weeks ago with the Chris Stapleton thing.
I love JT. I'm a huge fan all the way around. I just feel like this album, I didn't particularly love it. It's a little weird to me. And I've loved all of his albums. And I thought the Super Bowl performance was so dance heavy. And I would like to see like a well-rounded performance from him because he can sing. So it was just, I'm just a little bit underwhelmed, but still Team JT.
Underwhelmed or just whelmed?
I know you can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed. Can you just be whelmed?
So what's new for me is I've started cleaning out the inside of my truck from duck season.
Oh, gosh.
You know how like on a Christmas movie on Hallmark, they have the same things that happen on every one of them?
Right.
Like there's always a dead relative,
sure,
that made Christmas amazing or something. I feel like the start of every duck or of every podcast for the next 9 months is going to be some kind of mourning of duck season. It's just going to be a trope that we include. So I've started cleaning out the inside of my truck, and I'm going to try to get you guys a list together for all the things that I find in there.
Okay.
But so far I've taken, and I didn't think I had any decoys in my truck, but I took 17 out today.
Oh my word.
17?
And I didn't think there were any in there.
Did you find any clients in there?
No, didn't find any clients. I did find, we're recording this, it's been almost a week since the youth hunt. I did find Will's breakfast from the last day.
Oh, good.
So that should give you an indication of the state of the vehicle. And I know a lot of our listeners out there probably have the same condition going on.
We need a weekly segment.
The state of the vehicle.
Yeah. What's in Travis's truck?
This is a lifelong issue with you, though. Past vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
It's bad.
Maintenance, oil changes, that sort of thing. It's bad. Travis just isn't. He's never going to conform.
I'm not the best with that either.
What's new with you?
What's new with me? Our listeners came through again. We have another new review this week. The review is Jake from Florida. Do you think he works at State Farm?
I don't.
Do you think he wears a red polo shirt and khaki pants?
I don't.
Okay.
I actually know Jake through Facebook. I don't know him in real life.
Uh-huh.
But near as I can tell, he wears camo a lot.
Okay. Jake from Florida says, I stumbled across the episode People You Meet on a Boat, which was episode 19, a few weeks ago and have been addicted since. I'm a talk radio podcast guy at heart and was stoked to find a homegrown podcast talk involving the outdoors. I then continued my addiction into the shotgun draft, which was episode 20. Then we backtracked to episode 3 with the duck draft. Not only were these episodes super informative, but equally, if not more, entertaining. Combine that with Keep and Release and 2 Minute Will, I found myself skipping my go-to podcast to listen in on Cast and Blast. Great flow to otherwise a short program. You guys keep it funny and clean. Keep up the great work. Five starred and subbed. Subscribed is what he's saying. Five starred and subbed. No questions asked. Except, can you verify if this is a model or not, bro?
We cannot.
Absolutely, we can verify.
We have a shirt that can verify.
We have a shirt that can verify. Also, I'm going to keep teasing this until it happens because it's going to happen and we've messaged back and forth. We're going to get Ben Pierce on the show. The guy that runs the hybrid,
oh my gosh,
the hybrid club.
I'm awesome. Into that.
He and I have been messaging back and forth, and that's going to happen sooner rather than later. So you guys hang in there, and we'll get some clarification on if it is a hybrid or not.
From a actual duck scientist.
Yes. I mean, we're experts because we are podcasters,
sure,
slash hunters and fishermen, but this guy does it for a living. So he's probably more qualified than we are.
So quick note about reviews, because we love them so much and we literally have dance parties when we get them. We have a goal for this year. So the podcast is a lot of fun. We have so much fun making it and we're really proud of it. But we have some goals, like we'd like to grow it. So one of our goals is 100 reviews on iTunes. We're at 41 at the time of this recording, almost halfway there. So if you guys listen to the show, we appreciate your support and we would really love it if you could take a moment to log in and give us a review on iTunes.
And if you've already given us a review, maybe grab your wife's phone.
Yes.
Give us a review from that.
Yes.
Or teach everyone you know, because it's kind of hard to go give a review on there. It's not
intuitive. It's not an easy thing. Yeah. It's not
reviews
an easy thing.
And word of mouth are the bread and butter of our show. Like, that's, we can't believe we've grown by thousands of listeners in a week and a
yeah,
half.
We
Travis
just,
has his prayer voice right now.
We just
yeah,
we just hit 6,000 listens
today.
Yeah, today. So I mean, we're
so excited.
2 weeks ago, we were talking about 5,000.
Right. No, so, it's really getting up there.
I have another factoid about our podcast. We're in 41 states and territories from the U.S. 41.
41.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you guys what's missing, and if you know somebody who lives there, ask them to give us a listen. Okay, really
or,
fast.
Or if you live close enough to where you could
drive
cross
across
a state
the border.
Line.
Okay, here they are. Alaska, Hawaii, Nevada, Colorado, North and South Dakota, Indiana, Vermont, Delaware, or Rhode Island. We're looking for you. Get us all 50 states. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, we're at 41 because they count D.C. as a state.
Yeah, or as the territory.
Gotcha.
But the best part of that actually was watching him, because the states aren't labeled. So it's a map of the United States, and she's like, I need you to help me tell me
trying
what these
to figure
states
out what
are.
States or what.
Had no idea what they were.
Yeah, like
literally.
You give
no
me
idea.
A map right now, I could label every
and
single state.
He told me Rhode Island was one of them, and I couldn't even spell it.
No, she spelled it wrong. But that was
R-O-A-D?
Yeah.
Is that how you spelled
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's R-H-O-D-E.
Yeah, yes. I legit have never had a geography class
I'll
in my
let
life.
Rhode Island, I'll let Vermont, I'll let those slide on state identification, because those are little weird
they're
states
tiny,
over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of them
North
up there.
And South Dakota, Nevada.
Yeah.
Like, those are pretty hard swings
you should
and
know.
Misses.
You should know those.
So, anyway, let's...
I'm really good at algebra, though, if anybody needs
she's great
me
at
to
algebra
do that.
And podcast editing, not so much snapper versus flounder identification.
Fish ID, no.
All right, duck season is obviously over. However, you know what is not over, Nate?
Duck ID posts.
Duck ID posts. So we were remiss in our duty last week and did not call a couple folks out. So I went ahead and I've amalgamated them into one group for this week's episode. Here's what we got. We got four. Four of these guys get a Do You Even Modeled, bro. Christopher Gibson had a troll post the week after the season was over. He had a picture of two model ducks and asked for duck ID on Florida Duck Hunters. He thought we were going to let that slide. We're not letting that slide, Christopher Gibson.
Do you even model, bro?
Christian Serena posted a picture of a pug with duck wings.
I love that so much.
We believe this may have been a troll post. However, we're not going to shirk our duties. Christian?
Do you even model, bro?
Tommy Evans. From 2 weeks ago, Tommy Evans called me out in the comments on friend of the show Joe Polito's post with a blue effing wing effing teal. Tommy Evans, you asked for it.
Do you even model, bro?
Trey Ziegler on the group Duck Mountain War with a legitimate ID post, being as it was a model duck killed in Texas. Trey has decoyed into our spread, and being the highly trained killers that we are, we're not going to let him escape. So, Trey Ziegler,
do you even model, bro?
It's one of my favorite segments.
It's one of my favorite segments, too. We crowdsourced some of the subject matter for this week's show, and the title of it is Bucket List Destinations. And we did... I'd have to go back and look. It's like episode 6 or 7. We did a bucket list trophies show. This is different in that I think the criteria I gave you guys was I've shot mallard ducks before, right? But I'd like to go shoot on my bucket list, and we'll talk about it in a second, is to go shoot mallard ducks in like the Pacific Northwest. Mm. So it's not so much a species bucket list. It's a destination bucket list.
Like right.
Something different. I mean, it could be a different species as well, but just going somewhere different to hunt or fish or whatever you want to do outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was episode 7.
So, yeah, episode 7, if you want to go back and listen to that, was one of our most popular early episodes. Today's episode, we're going to talk for just a minute among what's on our bucket list destinations. So, Nate, you got one?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one I've got, I'd love to go to Argentina one day and do a duck-dove combo hunt
down
there.
Big time.
Yeah. I don't want to do it till I'm older because I feel like it's going to ruin me. For all duck and dove hunting down here.
Now, didn't you duck hunt in Nicaragua, right?
I did duck hunt in Nicaragua one time with a missionary friend of mine down there. And they were blue-wing teal about the size of a model duck.
Oh, my gosh.
They were giant blue-wing teal.
By the millions.
Oh, yeah. Thousands of them. In a rice field. We were in over at Flutter Rice Field. Great hunt. Fun hunt. It was fun because you can shoot lead down there. So I was shooting... You know, 7.5s.
Like just putting them down.
Yeah, just crunching them. But no, it was a blast. But no, I'd love to go to Argentina one day, do the have a 1,000 bird day or 600 yeah. bird day
the,
or whatever.
One of the problems with Scott McKinney also mentioned Argentina, the Dark Water Calls guy. He mentioned that on one of our posts. One of the problems with Argentina is you can't import ducks back.
Right.
I think I read that somewhere. There's difficulty importing whatever the trophies are you killed. But that'd still be amazing. I've also heard it's super expensive on shells.
Yeah, and just expensive to get down there. And it's an expensive trip. I mean, it's going to cost you probably...
$7,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, something like that to do the whole thing. But it's one of those bucket list things that I want to do once in my life.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. Well, Em, you want to go next?
So the first one on my list is something I also touched on in episode 7. But there's a little town in Montana called Livingston, Montana. And... Travis and I have been dreaming about going there for
as long as we've known each other.
It's about 3 miles from the Yellowstone River. It's a lot of fly fishing up there, but also the national parks up there. And I just want to go. It's such a quaint little town. It's really small. It had a population of about 7,000 in 2010. So it's probably doubled, which is still really, really small. And stay in the town. It's so quaint and charming, and I want to learn to fly fish in the Yellowstone River because I've never fly fished, and I think that would be such a cool place to do it.
Absolutely.
And beautiful.
I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. First one on my list, and this gets to the heart, I think, of what we're talking about, would be Big Snook in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Like going to the jungle to catch monster snook and tarpon.
Yeah.
Fish that I can catch, you know, an hour from my house.
But
doing it in the jungle, like in the brown backwaters,
freaking giant
where it comes out. Yeah. And they're all huge. I mean, that's a bucket list trip to me.
Oh, yeah.
I've never done it. I'd love to do it. So that's at the top of my list.
Where did you say you wanted to go? The Bahamas?
Costa Rica.
How did I miss that? I was not active listening. I'll do better.
You are one of the few people in the America that's not listening to our podcast. And you're on the podcast.
I think I hear our podcast more than anyone in
That's
America.
True. What do you got next, Nate?
Along the same lines of Costa Rica, I'd love to go to Belize and do like real shallow water, like bonefish and permit over there, but also do like a snook and tarpon as well. Love to go down there. And I've seen some pictures and some TV shows where they've done it. It's like the water's just so pristine and like crystal clear.
It's unbelievable.
And you're in ankle deep water out in this little flat, and there's like bonefish and permit around, and it just looks awesome. And
are there snook and tarpon like in Belize? Is that Pacific or is that, I don't know
either, but
do you know if they're fish? Are they fishing jungles or are they fishing like the beach?
I think
like
you can do both. I think you can do either one, because I think they have mangrove jungles and the real pristine kind of beach areas.
Nice. Yeah, I can get behind that. I've seen the videos of them doing like bonefish and stuff, yeah. And it's gorgeous.
Henry Wazchuk caught parrotfish.
I would like for you to say that again, but as you say that, I want our listeners to imagine that you're in black and white. And then when you say caught parrotfish, I want our listeners to imagine it cuts to color.
I'll try to do it with my voice here. Henry Wazchuk caught parrotfish in Belize one day.
Triggerfish. Wasn't it triggerfish?
Yeah, it was triggerfish, not parrotfish.
Yeah, but it was still cool.
The effect was there.
I'd do it.
So what's next for you, Em?
So I have to tell a little fact about myself before I get into this. I have a situation that is called disembarkation sickness. How this manifests is very unfortunate, because I love to be on the water and my husband is a fishing guide. So when I go on a boat, I'm totally fine when I'm on the boat. I don't get sick. But when I get off the boat, I get so sick. When I'm back on land, my body stays, my brain or
If it's rough.
Yeah, if it's rough, or if a boat drives by us and does like a really big wake and I forget to look up at the horizon, if I'm looking down, it'll hit me. So anyway, the Bahamas, I think, is a place where I could probably do a deep water fishing experience, but not be so far offshore that I get the big, big waves because of the way the reef is around there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I want to go to the Bahamas and do a deep water charter that's close to shore and do big snapper, not flounder, but snapper and grouper. And plus it's the Bahamas.
And I was going to say, and stay in like a 5-star resort.
Like get a massage on a beach somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah. I'd be down for that.
You'd probably be okay chasing bonefish too.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you wanted to do it, I would like to go.
Yeah. I think you could talk me into it.
Yeah.
You could convince
me.
That's
one of your things.
Yeah. Twist his arm.
Yeah.
My next one is, I think we talked back during duck season about the Dr. Duck video from Sitka and,
yes, we
and
did.
Yeti.
This one's on my list.
But this was what inspired this whole thing to me is that video where they're in like, I think they're in Eastern Washington or Idaho.
Yeah.
And there's like a scene where there's like 50 million mallard ducks. It looks like all the ducks in the Western Flyway are in that picture.
It was incredible.
I want to go there and experience that. Like, I've shot mallards. Those are checked off my list. But I want to go there and
shoot mallards in the Columbia River Valley,
yes,
of Eastern Washington.
By the millions.
By the millions. I think the limit out there is 8.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
That's so high.
8 ducks. I feel like it's 8 ducks, but I don't know that it's 8 mallards.
I don't know. But I think it is 8 ducks.
Yeah, I know that it's 8 ducks on the Pacific Flyway. I think Oregon killed the most mallards of any state last year or the year before.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of a shocking number. No, it was California. It was California, pretty sure.
Yeah. Well,
I'd have to look at that data again. I'm going off
memory. They have a little more liberal bag limits out there. I don't know about the mallard thing, but there are a lot of mallards in the Pacific Flyway.
Yeah. Well, and yeah.
A lot.
Anyway, seeing that video, like ever since I saw that video, that's all I can think about as far as destination hunts is I need to go there and experience something like that.
Oh yeah.
It doesn't have to be exactly like that. I just want to see a bunch of mallard ducks like that. And I've hunted Arkansas. I've hunted some cool places, but that's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I need in on that. If anybody's listening from the Pacific Northwest and you want to, we'll trade you a spot on the podcast for
state. I don't think we listed Oregon or Washington.
Yeah. Hold she on. Has no idea where Oregon or Washington are.
I got to look at him. I don't.
They were not. We do have listeners there.
Good.
To clarify that. I remember because I looked at the map.
There you go.
What do you got next, Nate?
All right. My next one is Alaska.
That's on my list too.
And the thing about Alaska is multi-layered, right?
Yes. Fishing and hunting.
So,
and big game hunting.
Right. So you have salmon, halibut, rockfish, all of that. You can get back into the inland and catch like Arctic char and grayling and stuff like that on the fishing side. And there's more, obviously. And then on the hunting side, you have the sea ducks, the king eider, harlequins.
Barrow's golden eye.
Barrow's golden eye. And then on the big game side, you have caribou, sick of deer, sick of blacktails,
bear,
bears, doll sheep, stone sheep, moose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a smorgasbord of outdoor activities.
How do you have all that in, just in your head?
Because we've dreamed of going to Alaska since we were probably both little kids.
And I'm kind of an expert. So,
and
you are. It's amazing to me. Like, I know
And I listen to a lot of podcasts and read a lot about hunting in Alaska.
They also have an emperor geese out there, which is the only place you can kill them in North America, I think.
I think they were recently protected until this year.
Yeah, it's the first year you could hunt them. So Alaska's definitely on my list as well. That's a big time hunt.
For sure.
/ trip, not just hunt.
Oh, you can kill muskox too if you're into that.
Really?
Yeah. There's an island with a native tribe on it, and they only pull a few tags a year, but you can go kill a muskox.
Always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Do you eat muskox?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I would try it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that muskox is the best term for
there's a meat eater episode.
On muskox?
On muskox.
Okay. We'll have to check that out.
Yep. It's on Netflix, I think.
I'll link to it in the show notes.
What do you got?
First, I have a story. Every one of these, I have a story. I'm sorry. This one's really good, though. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, maybe it was like 3 weeks ago now, when everybody in Hawaii got that text message, the emergency alert that a missile was coming in. My coworker was there.
Whoa.
When that happened. And he came back to work and he was telling me. So he was like standing on this beautiful ridge looking at this vista in Hawaii. And it was so pretty. And he didn't have his phone with him. But all these other people around him got the alert and started pulling out their phones. And they're like telling him what it said. And his wife was out running and she didn't have her phone with her. And he was like in those moments when he didn't know it wasn't real. He was like, well, here I am. I'm here surrounded by beauty. I know my wife's happy doing what she loves. Like, if this is it, I'm okay with that. Isn't that so wild to think about that?
That is pretty crazy.
He said he looked down in the water and there were people scuba diving. And he was like, when they come up, it's going to be pandemonium here and they won't have any idea what happened. Like, so crazy to think about that. But anyways.
So do you have a destination?
Yes. The reason I'm telling that story is because Hawaii is a place I would really like to go. And I don't even really care if there's fishing or hunting there. I just want to go to Hawaii.
There is both there.
Yeah, you can't waterfowl hunt, but they do have...
No, but they have excellent fishing.
Yep.
Mostly offshore stuff.
There's bonefish in Hawaii as well.
Oh, yep. Really? Okay.
I can't do offshore, though. I'll puke.
But it's close to shore offshore.
Oh, okay. It's the same.
Because it gets really deep really quickly.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, because it's a volcano. Right. I read about that. Is Hawaii an atoll?
It is.
Okay.
But also, they have axis deer on the islands out there.
Little baby deer?
No.
They're big deer.
They're big deer, but they're spotted deer. Mm. But they keep their spots the whole time. They have wild hogs and feral goats.
Aw, how could you shoot a goat? They're so ridiculous.
Probably with a 270.
The people who live in Hawaii are like, kill them all.
Oh, really?
Because they're Florida with hogs?
Yeah, yeah. And the same thing with the hogs over there, too.
Yeah.
They're very invasive and intrusive.
And probably don't get a lot of hunting pressure because there's such a high tourism area.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, no, Hawaii is one of those hunting destinations where...
It's a sleeper.
It's a sleeper. It's a sleeper.
Yeah. I wouldn't take my phone if I went hunting there.
No.
If a missile's coming, I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Travis, what's your next one?
Since Nate took Alaska, because that was high on my list, I'm going to go... So I have killed one canvasback in my life. That was a hen. Never killed a drake. So I would love to go to in my mind, it's Lake St. Clair on the border of the U.S. and Michigan, or the U.S. and Canada.
US
although
and Michigan.
Sometimes you could argue the U.S. and Michigan are two different things.
Right.
But somewhere like that where you could do a layout hunt for canvasbacks.
Yeah.
Or just a big time canvasback targeted hunt.
Right.
Or something like even old days Chesapeake Bay type canvasback hunt. But the bag limit in Canada is more liberal.
Yeah.
So I think you can kill six in Canada versus one in the U.S.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Most states, yeah.
So anyway, I just think that would be, on my destinations, that would be a destination. Yeah, we can kill those in Florida, but I want to go hunt them specifically.
Yes.
Target them. So yeah. I just think they call them the king of ducks. And
apparently they're super good to eat.
They're delicious to eat. I've eaten them. I've only killed one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I've had clients kill them. I haven't been doing the shooting the days they show. And that's what I tell people there. I was talking to one of our listeners in Ontario the other day, and he was like, yeah, we get them a lot. I was like, yeah, we get them too. They're just not regular.
Right.
You can't really depend
kind
on
of
them.
Rare, few so, and far between.
It's hard to go target.
Right.
Just casually chatting with one of our listeners in Ontario.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What do you got next, Nate? You got any more?
Yeah, I got one more.
Okay.
I want to go, like, can we do this next week? Because I want to go out to the Midwest and shoot snow geese.
You literally want to go tomorrow?
Yeah, because okay. The season's open right now. It's the spring snow goose season.
It is. Conservation hunt.
Conservation hunt. No limit.
Oh, my gosh.
Shoot them all.
Yeah.
Well, they're so overpopulated, they're really destroying their nesting habitat in the tundra.
If anyone ever asks about why hunting should be okay, show them what a snow goose does
to a field in about 3 minutes.
Yep.
20,000 snow geese can do to a field in about 3 minutes.
But you anyway, would trade out hogs for snow geese because they can just destroy a field.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like
scorched earth.
What kind of crops are at risk out there?
Wheat, corn, soybeans.
Well, but beyond that, they've gotten to such a large port. There's so many of them now. They can't sustain their own population because they're destroying the tundra.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So where they summer, that's what I'm talking about. Like it literally looks like someone went through with an excavator and just destroyed everything.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So their nesting grounds are gone.
Nesting grounds are gone. And then, you know, they come down here and eat all the farmers' crops. And they're really killing themselves.
And other waterfowl.
And other waterfowl because they're just hurting the entire nesting grounds up there. So they have a conservation season every year. Especially in the Midwest states like Arkansas, Kansas,
Missouri,
places like that, to where they have no limits and you just go out and you shoot them. And I just want to do that so bad.
Yeah,
it looks
it's
like
carnage.
So much fun.
Carnage. So you just lay out there all day and you shoot as many snow geese as you can shoot.
Yep.
No plugs in your gun.
Yep.
If you can buy a magazine extender, you have as many shells as you can have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome. We've actually been snow goose hunting before, but not on a conservation hunt like that. So that would be big time for us too.
Oh yeah.
Totes my goats.
What do you have any more?
What are those goats in Hawaii called?
Feral goats.
Totes my feral goats.
Do you have any more or do you want to tell us another sad story about one of your coworkers?
I have two more. Can I do two more or do I need to
You
can
do
one?
Two more.
Should I do both of them now?
If you'd like to.
Okay. I'll just make this first one really quick. So glamping. I want to go glamping. I've been camping. I've camped when I didn't want to in my driveway because a hurricane blew through and ruined my life. But glamping is so fancy.
Okay, can you explain what glamping is to Nate?
Is this like a Disney's Fort Wilderness type camping? Where it's kind of camping but not really camping?
Yes.
No.
Not even a little
exactly
bit. No, it's
way
but it's
more hotel-y
fancy.
Than that.
So it's like a fancy.
Just stay in a hotel.
Like imagine walking up to a canvas tent and opening and there's like a bed and a rug and a chandelier and someone cooks you dinner. But listen, women are into this. I'm telling you.
I don't
situation
debate that for a
where someone else is cooking dinner and washing my dishes is glamping to me. Like, but sometimes I get to glamp at home because Travis does it.
The amping shouldn't even be in the word because it's not even close to anything camping.
Well, it's out in the woods.
There are hotels out in the woods, resorts out in the woods.
Sorry.
Nate just had a stroke.
Anyway, I like the idea of glamping.
I could honestly get behind the glamping if it was affordable.
There was some glamping trip I saw. It is so expensive.
It's super expensive.
But they would like, you got on this whitewater rafting river.
Yeah, it was on the Snake River in Idaho.
Was that where it was?
Yeah.
And you would travel and then they would go ahead of you and like have all your stuff set up. So like you get off the river, they have dinner and wine.
They had masseuses to give you massages and things.
Heck yes.
My girlfriend did something similar to that growing up.
Uh-huh.
But they had to set up their own tents.
Yeah.
Do all that. It was actual camping, not glamping, whatever the heck.
Well,
that is.
I like it because this is my thing with being an outdoorsy person. Our vacations tend to, you know,
revolve around
that. And you come home more tired than when you went on vacation because you're going at it so hard.
Yeah, but how much fun did you have?
Always fun.
Right.
But you can have fun and come home rested if you're rich, and it's called glamping. And I want to do it. My last thing is a little bit sentimental, and I've talked about this on the podcast before. I have relatives who my grandfather on my mom's side was a shrimp boat captain out of Port St. Joe, and he also was a fishing charter. So it's like so special to me that he did that. And my husband now is a fishing charter, Travis Thompson, Gasparilla Charters. I want to go back to Port St. Joe and go fish the same waters that my grandfather.
Have you ever fished there?
I I fished there as a tiny, tiny child off the shore, but I've never been on like the boat out there. So that's something I think would be really
fun. We have some listeners in that area. So we'll see if we can set that up for you.
Yeah, if we're ever up there and somebody wants to take me fishing, I'll buy you some oysters.
There you go.
We'll do a trade.
It's pretty good. Trazies.
I don't know that anybody up there needs oysters bought. Seems like they've got plenty of them. All right, so we did Alaska. We did snook in Costa Rica. The only other ones I had was I had sea ducks down.
Right.
I could care less about... I'm not a collector, so I could care less about the idea of killing all 40-whatever species of North America. But I think that would be a cool experience to just be sitting on the rocks in like Maine or somewhere hunting sea ducks. And the other one I thought was cool is, and I don't know if you can still do it, but Flamingo K, which one of the guys on Florida Duck Hunters mentioned this, Chad Andrews. Flamingo K in Andros on Andros Island used to, you could hunt ducks and chase bonefish out of the same lodge.
Wow.
There's millions of white cheek pintails there.
Oh, nice.
But from all the research I can find, you can't hunt white cheek pintails in the Bahamas anymore. So
interesting.
I don't know that you can't waterfowl hunt. You might be able to hunt teal and stuff like that because they say there's a lot of blue wings and stuff.
Yeah.
Can't hunt the white cheeks in the Bahamas. So that would be kind of a strike against it, but I just think that would be a cool destination to go to.
Oh yeah, for sure.
A rod and gun club in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
that'd be big time. So
sounds like we need to go to the Bahamas. Between the two of us, I feel like
okay.
You know,
threaten me with a good time.
We could take a cruise there.
So we have a couple of
ignored move.
Yeah,
on.
I sailed right past that. For our listeners, I'm super anti-cruising because of the pollutants. And right. The dredging and everything.
The
so.
Only vacation we could afford where I get to relax, he doesn't do.
Because of the environment.
Just go.
That all of our listeners love.
Can I bring someone with me?
Sure.
Like just any random man?
No. We've got some of your answers to the question, what is your bucket list destination? And we weeded through all these. We got a lot of responses, but obviously we weren't going to take like Cinnamon Teal because that's not a destination.
Right.
So first up, we got Blake Gibson. From the Hardcore Waterfowlers page. He talked about a bunch of species he wanted to kill, but he said, he can't ever shoot enough snows, so I continue to pursue them in multiple states and provinces and add more states and provinces as time goes on. I think that's pretty cool. That
yeah.
So now it's about checking off the states the versus states checking off the species.
Shoot. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Boca Coast, a friend of the show, they weighed in, and they are in your camp, Travis. They want to do Costa Rica and go rooster fishing.
Yeah, and I'd love to. We talked about that in the trophies episode that, that'd be cool to catch rooster fish like off the rocky cliffs or something. That'd
it would be so fun to get a group of all of our friends, like friend of the show, like people we've met in the industry together and go do something like that.
Absolutely, it would.
Jack Nash on the Florida Duck Hunters, he said, I've hunted from Florida to King Eiders in the Aleutian Islands, and the where is where your dreams will take you. Never miss an opportunity.
Joe McGuire said, I'd love to catch chopper blues in the Outer Banks during their spring run, 15 pounders.
Tyler Pike says,
friend of the show, Tyler Pike, okay. Who will come up in the keep and release segment.
Widgeon in Washington State in flooded fields.
And then Eric McHugh said, Northwest is on my list. I want to add it into my annual trips. So lots of good responses out there. We have one last one. Nate, you want to take it? It was kind of the summary of what we talk about a lot on here.
Yeah, Dan Roosh.
I think you're saying that right.
Yeah.
Roosh.
Roosh, R-U-C-H. There shouldn't be a where what. It's about getting out there and enjoying hunting with good friends and family. Not limits, not getting skunked. Some of our best hunts, and trust me, this year I've had plenty, isn't about the birds you take. It's about the quality time with loved ones. For me, the best hunts are the ones with my wife next to me and the memories that will last forever.
That's nice. Pretty good stuff.
Dan's got it right.
Dan's got it right. That's although it would be cool to have some mountains in the background or some pristine flats in the background.
Or a tent with a rug
hot
in it.
Tub in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Keep and release.
Keep and release. There. That's our jingle for that
one. Oh my
gosh.
Nate, do you have a release item?
I have a release item.
What is your release item?
My release item is every cable company that's ever existed.
Okay.
Word.
I like where this is going.
So, and it's nothing like specific, but it's always, we were watching the Super Bowl the other night. I was at my parents' house. They have Spectrum.
Formerly Bright House.
Formerly Bright House.
By Charter, I think.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, and the video started cutting out.
Pixelating
really badly during the Super Bowl. So we're like, you know, I mean, we didn't really care about the game, but we wanted to watch the game.
And the commercials,
you know, and so we're like, right now, you have to pixelate right now. There are more people watching TV at this very moment than there will be all year. And this is when you pixelate. And the Wi-Fi, it interferes with Wi-Fi when it does that. So the Wi-Fi kind of goes out when it pixelates. And then you have to like reset the router or like reconnect on your phone or your internet on your laptop. It's ridiculous.
It's like Lord of the Flies.
You pay so much money to have crappy internet and TV. So much money. I'm done. I'm sling box. Here I come.
Yeah.
We have a digital antenna.
We do. And this,
it's magical.
How good was, I did not watch the Super Bowl.
It was perfect. In fact, it was raining the whole time. And I was a little bit like, oh, I hope this doesn't cut out. Man, it was solid the whole time. Beautiful picture.
We are long time cord cutters. I think we're coming up on 3 years that we haven't had cable. And it's the best thing we've ever
done. I don't
think
I'll ever have cable.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
It's stupid expensive.
It's a terrible decision. If you want to know more about cutting the cords, you're welcome to message us about that. I'll be glad to help you out as best I can.
Yeah, because we have a Fire Stick. We have a Roku. We've subscribed to channels on those and paid for them as we needed them. So
you get 1,000 channels and you watch like 4 of them.
That's exactly right.
And you pay for the 1,000.
Yeah. I stayed in a hotel with my son for the youth weekend hunts and we had cable. Honestly, ESPN was about all I watched and really I didn't watch much of that. Like it's not worth it.
It's ridiculous. So I'm releasing all cable companies.
That's a good release.
Yeah.
My release is Interstate 4. So if you're not from Florida, if you're in one of the other 41 states or territories listening, I-4 is the highway that gets you from Disney World to Busch Gardens. And I drive it twice a week. And an article actually came out at the end of 2017. I-4 named the most dangerous highway in America.
Believe it.
And it's been under construction for 100 years. It's never going to not be under construction. The most dangerous section, the stretch where you are more likely to get into an accident than anywhere else, is a 15-mile drive from Champions Gate to SeaWorld, which is exactly the route I drive to get to work. I'm just like dreading it tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow and I don't want to go.
If they made I-4, which it's an interstate highway. I know we've got listeners all over the place now. It doesn't go out of the state.
Does not go out of state. From Daytona Beach to Tampa,
Florida. It's an intrastate highway, technically.
Yeah.
And I think there's only like 6 of those in the United States or something that are confined to one state. They don't leave another state.
Right. It's the worst.
If they made it 25 lanes tomorrow, it would be congested.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
If they made it 100 lanes tomorrow, would be congested.
The population growth in that corridor has been so insane in the past tourism. 10 years.
That's where all the tourists are. That stretch includes Disney World and SeaWorld.
Mm-hmm.
Universal's further down. But yeah, I'm good with you releasing that.
Thanks.
I don't love you making that
Burn
drive.
Burn it down.
So my release is a little lacking now that you guys have kind of unloaded on Spectrum and
the highways
Interstate
of Florida.
4. Mine is the fact that I haven't been able to eat ice cream lately because I've been working out like we had talked about.
Oh, okay.
Bullet train to Slim City.
Yeah, woo. This is day 3.
Did you wave at me as I was?
Yes.
Yeah, Nate's not
I've
on the train this
off
week.
The train this
I
last week.
I don't want to so much talk about my goals or anything else as far as weight loss, but I do want to talk about the fact that I haven't been able to eat ice cream, and I'm sad about that, and I feel like that should be released.
That's a rough.
I'd also like to release vegetables. This is the most vegetables I've eaten in my life this
good.
Week. I've eaten
good for you.
3 or 4
different ones, or like in one
servings.
Day. A day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a ton of greens a day. Yeah.
So anyway, that's where I'm at on my release. What's your keep item? You got a good one?
Yeah, my keep item is it's a knife sharpener. Mm. It's called the Work Sharp Ken Onion Edition.
Ooh, I love Ken Onion. Yeah. He's who made my Kershaw knife.
Right. He designs a lot of the Kershaws. So this is a electronic knife sharpener. It comes with bands and it's got a dial on it to where you can dial the angle of the sharpness you want. So for like a fillet knife, you want a little steeper angle, like 17 degrees or 20 degrees, because you want it to be really sharp and thin to get through the fish. For like a hunting knife, you probably want 25, or like a chef's knife, you want 25. But it's got a dial. It goes from like, I think like 15 to 30 degrees, and you can adjust it and do it. And it comes with different grit bands, so like a coarse, medium, fine, super fine.
This
and
is fascinating to me. I didn't know this was a thing.
Do you know how much this goes for?
I think it's about $100.
I need this.
Yeah.
Although I want to pick on you right now.
Okay.
Electronic knife sharpener. Mm. Complaining about your cable TV connection. I feel like you've gone a little bit city on us, man. Like you're getting soft a little
hey,
bit.
Hey, don't work harder.
Work smarter.
Work smarter.
Okay. Mm. I'll buy that. And I'm jealous because I've been manually sharpening my knives and I do like that.
I like to do it. There's something you know, soothing about sitting down and sharpening a knife. I get it.
Preach.
And when I have time to do that, I like to do that. But if I want to, if I'm about to fillet 20 fish or something,
yeah,
like that,
I sharpen my knives a lot.
And it, I want to hit it on each side about 10 times. It's real quick. And my knife is super sharp. Super, super sharp. So
that's a good item.
I like it.
Super relevant.
Yeah, what's your keep item?
Less relevant is something I got for Christmas and I've been test driving it. I didn't want to report back, but I love it. From ebags.com, I got a new laptop backpack, which I'm a backpack person because I got to have my hands free for like my purse and my keys and my lunchbox and all that stuff. But this is a, it's called the Professional Slim Laptop Backpack. I'll put a link in the show notes if you're interested. It retails for $119.99, but it's on sale for $89.99 right now. And it converts from a backpack to a briefcase. It's really awesome for travel. It's got bright interior, so you can see things like the interior.
It's really
orange.
Smart. It's bright orange inside, so you don't lose like a flash drive or your keys or
no,
something. You can
super
see it.
Smart.
Yeah, and at the bottom, it's got crush-proof compartment at the bottom. So it's like reinforced. I have really important things in there, like a lint roller and a tennis ball.
Neither one of those things can be crushed anyway, can they?
I don't know. It's just if they fit really well.
I feel like you're
there.
Wasting your so crush proof.
That's
port.
Where I put it. Anyway, I really like it. It's comfortable. It holds all my junk for work. I can carry two laptops with no problem. I just wanted to share because when you use an item every single day, it's nice to have something that's functional.
Yeah.
You know?
And it, really, is, it is a cool looking bag.
So anybody else who's a laptop carrier, you might want to check out eBags. And I'll again, I'll put a link in the show notes for you.
You guys.
What's your keep?
Mine is probably the most relevant to the listeners of this episode. So friend of the show, Tyler Pike.
Yes.
Recommended the show Justified to me. And I've been binging it. And it's amazing. It was an FX series. The short of it is. And if you're listening to this and you've trusted me on Godless, like, and people have, and they've reached back out to me and they're like, wow, you really know what you're talking about. Obviously, you should be a TV critic. They've reached out and they like that feedback. Justified, I'm a bit late to the game because it's been off the air for a couple of years, but you can watch it on Amazon Prime. Timothy Oliphant, I think I'm saying his name right. He's a U.S. Marshal, and he kills a lot of people. And he wears a cowboy hat, and it's set in modern times. So really good show.
Didn't you tell me it was reminiscent of NCIS, but just a different flavor?
Yeah.
A Western NCIS?
Like it's like NCIS crossed with like an Amazon show. Like okay. It's grittier and they say the S word.
Yeah, okay.
Super, super good stuff, though. Like, I really like it.
He's
it's got a
gushing,
cool theme song.
Yeah, about the music, I was going to say.
It's just, I like, we're not TV. We've cut the cord, obviously. We talked about that.
Right.
While bringing everything full circle. So when we watch a show, it's usually we're watching reruns of The Office, reruns of Parks and Rec,
right.
Reruns of whatever show on Netflix or Amazon that we have access to. So it's nice to find something on one of those platforms that we can watch. It's really good quality stuff. It's a little dark. Probably don't watch it with the kids in the room, but it was on cable TV. It was on FX. Good show.
Nice.
Check cool. it out. Let me know. Hit me back up if you trusted me on Godless and you trust me on Justified. I'll hit you back up with some other quality entertainment.
We're on social media at Cast and Blast FL, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's the 2 minute well. Get your questions ready to go. It's the 2 minute well with Will, your host.
Welcome back to the 2 minute well. Kicking it off with the first question, Travis, what job would you be terrible at?
Oh my gosh. I've been terrible at a lot of jobs. Probably a housekeeper I would be terrible at. Emily, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah. Probably if I was like a maintenance person. Like I'm not handy. I'm not super good with like simple repairs. I'm good if you say, hey, we want to paint this room. I can go in there and do that. I'm not good if you're like, hey, we need to change this doorknob out. But I'm not the guy you want to do that. Like it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
So I changed a outlet out of my house one time. I actually changed all of them out eventually, but the first one took me about 4 hours. Just to put it in perspective, it's just not, it doesn't work right in my head.
Yeah.
You want me to take a computer apart? I can do it. I can't do other stuff like
handy
that.
Handy stuff.
Handy stuff.
For me, it would probably be teacher. I'd probably get fired the first day because I would have cussed out a kid or slapped a kid or something because I cannot stand
kids.
Disrespectful kids, especially.
Okay. Yeah.
From what I hear from teachers today, there's a lot of that going around. It would be a bad situation. Yeah, I just can't handle that. Like, even if I'm walking around, like, in Walmart or something, I see a kid, like, being disrespectful to their parent or something. Like, I want to walk over and slap him. Like, it, like, makes me mad. Like, I can't stand that.
What about you, Wilbur?
A person who explains things to people about things that I'm good at, like really good at. Like, for example, Sarah's explaining how to play video games to someone. I cannot stand doing that because they always never know what button I'm talking about, and they have to look at the controller for like a good 2 minutes before they realize what button I'm talking about. And then, by the time I'm done doing that, it's just too confusing at that point.
I'm confused.
Me too. Is that a job? Is that an actual job people have?
I don't think it's a job.
Probably not, but I'd be terrible at it.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.